Remember to be kind and grateful for their interest, making sure that before you launch into how they should get into practicing mindfulness too, that they are actually wanting to know more. Be attentive to how they are reacting to what you are telling them. They could be just pleased that you've made some improvements and may not necessarily be that interested in how you've done it. It is important also to remember that mindfulness is not a cure-all, and people's issues and problems are often a lot more complicated than they seem on the surface. Sometimes people will not be interested in what mindfulness has to offer, or may not always see the benefits to their own situation by practicing it. Also remember not to judge them, and assume you know how being more mindful could help them. Once they've noticed the difference in you, and you've explained how it's not that difficult to achieve, you can point them to the right resources, like this book, to help them find out for themselves whether it will be suitable for them after their own research. Physical exercise. By being more mindful while performing physical exercise, you are more likely to feel the benefit of the exercise and gain far more enjoyment while doing it. You will also likely feel the benefits of the enjoyment afterwards too. Being mindful of the physical activity that you are doing while you are doing it will help your attention to stay focused on improving your skill level and ability instead of worrying about something else, like the report that has to be finished at work or what you are doing after. Mindfulness will likely positively affect you psychologically and physically too. It will help to improve your breathing rate and depth, along with improving heart rate and muscular activity as well. Research is starting to show that those who practice mindfulness tend to suffer with less effects of stress and in turn have a more positive attitude towards the health benefits of physical activities. Those practicing mindfulness are shown also to be better at setting intentions for physical activity, including being better at planning and preparing for it. Mindfulness can also help with performance, too, as not only will you likely be attending more sessions due to being less tired and fatigued through stress, but as you are more attentive, you will more likely understand your body's sensations better. This should help achieve maximum levels of performance and help you enjoy your chosen activity more. You can informally include mindfulness into your physical activity by just being in the present moment. Make sure that you are fully focused on the current point, current play, or simply watching your breathing and how it changes when your level of activity changes. There are lots of ways you can integrate mindfulness into just about all physical activities and not just sport. It could also be your intention for starting your mindfulness practice too. Having the right attitude. One of the most important factors that will influence whether mindfulness will work for you is your attitude. If you believe mindfulness is hard work and takes too much effort, then you will not see the real benefits it has to offer you. Once you understand how easy mindfulness actually is, and realize that even when you do make mistakes, being mindful allows you to let the mistakes go. By doing this, your attitude will likely change and improve. When it comes to your attitude towards your mindfulness practice, the easiest attitude to probably aim for is a neutral attitude of neither good or bad. Instead, an attitude of acceptance and acknowledgement is preferred. You will be as good as you can be at practicing your mindfulness and understanding that you are doing your best and this is acceptable. Getting frustrated and annoyed when your mind wanders will cause you to focus less on your mindfulness and just make it harder for yourself. Instead, accept that this happens to everyone and is just part of the process. Remember, any amount of mindful thought is more than you were doing before and is having a positive effect and benefit. Mindfulness is about experiencing the present moment as much as possible, and even if you feel that you are becoming annoyed because of a wandering mind or an outside source is interfering with your focus, you are being mindful as you are noticing how you feel right now. If you can't focus and your mind keeps returning to the same thoughts, then you have an opportunity to use mindfulness to investigate these thoughts further and why you are thinking them right now. Are they based on something you know to be true, or is your mind telling you stories? Are these thoughts making you feel something right now? What is that feeling? Are you experiencing emotions in your body at the moment? In your mind, ask yourself similar mindful questions, which will help bring you into a more mindful frame of mind, and will probably help stop the thought cycle you were previously having, allowing you to focus better on your mindful practice. As with asking the questions of yourself above, curiosity is the easiest way to become more mindful. The act of being curious causes you to use your senses and mind to understand something, and that in itself is being mindful. Whether you are just looking closer at something, listening more intently, or thinking about something to understand it better, if you investigate more, you will automatically become more mindful. Realizing this alone will help your attitude. You can use curiosity to be more mindful while performing daily tasks like brushing your teeth or having a shower. Can you really taste the minty flavor and the texture of your toothpaste? While showering, feel the temperature of the water on different parts of your body. Try to smell the scents and aromas of your shower gel and shampoo. Another way to help with your attitude is to practice letting go of any negative emotions, feelings, or thoughts about your mindfulness practice. Use your curiosity to investigate what negative emotions you experience when you practice mindfulness. Observe them as they play out and try to understand why you are experiencing them right now. Once you've done this, allow yourself to let those emotions run their course and start using the same technique to analyze related feelings and thoughts. Keep working through these and keep letting go until you get to the source of what you are experiencing. You will almost definitely find it's not related to your actual mindfulness practice, and this whole process was mindful itself. Forgive and let go. It is pretty much impossible to live life without getting hurt at some point, often through no fault of our own. Yet even though it may not be our fault, we often carry around resentment and hate from that hurt for months, years, and sometimes a lifetime. While we carry this around, it affects our decisions, attitudes, confidence, self-esteem, and weighs us down, stopping us enjoying life to the full. Having unresolved emotional pain affects us when we experience something similar again, too, as repressed emotional pain keeps accumulating, which is certainly not mindful. A couple of key things to remember are: it doesn't matter how much resentment or hate you hold inside for another person or situation, you are the only person feeling that resentment and hate. In fact, it is probably likely the other person gives it no thought at all anymore. So it's only yourself you hurt with the hate and resentment. You may be in the right now, and maybe you were in the right at the time, but the only person feeling this resentment and anger is you, and holding on to it for longer just prolongs your own pain. Also, by allowing yourself to forgive someone or a situation for which you are still carrying this resentment and hate does not mean you need to forget how it made you feel at the time, and they certainly don't need to know that they've been forgiven. All you are doing is giving yourself the gift of forgiveness, which allows you to let go of the resentment, anger, and pain you've been carrying around all this time. You are doing this purely for you. This will allow you to be happier, have better well-being, and allow you to be more mindful in similar situations, judging them purely and fairly on what you are experiencing in the present moment, instead of bringing previous unresolved emotional pain to an unrelated moment. By doing this, you are being kind and compassionate to yourself, which is important for mindfulness. You will also enable yourself to feel happier, as you will not be ruminating any more and causing yourself more pain and anguish with thoughts about the past. Take back control of your own feelings, thoughts, and emotions, and give yourself the power to control how you feel about this. It doesn't matter how badly you've been hurt. Stopping the other person or situation making you feel this way over and over again is the best form of retribution. It does take practice and time to be able to forgive and shift your attitude, but the more mindfulness you practice, the easier it becomes. You could initially start on something smaller that affects you and build up to the bigger causes of pain as you become more proficient at it. You must forgive with kindness, compassion, and genuinely mean it. And remember, the only person you are doing this for is you. nobody else. Chapter 4. Control. It all begins and ends in your mind. What you give power to has power over you. Leon Brown. For some people, life is a wonderful, joyous adventure, while for many others it's a life of stress, anxiety, resentment and disappointment. In many cases, the only difference between these people is how they deal with their challenges, face their fears, and how they cope with stress of stressful situations we all encounter from time to time. Basically, the difference is just how they think and how they manage their own emotions and feelings. Some people take adversity and problems as a chance to learn and grow, while for others it can be the end of their world. Those who seem to enjoy a good quality of life, regardless of whatever the world throws at them, tend to be more in control of their emotions, and do not let emotions and feelings control them. It's a common misconception that mindfulness is about letting go of control. It's easy to see why, when so many mindfulness books and guides actually say that less control is part of being mindful. Too much emphasis is often placed on this, as it's both true but more false, as many parts of mindfulness require a lot of control, especially in the early stages of learning mindfulness. Those that are in control of their thoughts and focus are usually dwelling less in the past and fretting less about the future too. They are more in the present and mindful. Some of us are able to think in this more positive manner, usually due to our upbringings. However, everyone is capable of having these positive thought patterns, and mindfulness is a very big step in the right direction. When you start trying to be more mindful, it seems that it requires lots of control of your thoughts to start with, but very quickly it becomes second nature, and you don't realize that you are doing it a lot of the time. As you start taking control of those negative thoughts, you will notice the benefits to your general well-being and outlook very quickly. The paradox missed by a lot of mindfulness books is that the very act of letting go of some control itself requires control over your mind to make this happen. So if you can't let go of your inner control freak, don't panic. There is plenty to control when being mindful. What is control? Control is to exercise or influence change on something to make it what you want it to be. If you want to give up control of something, you need to understand what state of mind you are in now, know or recognize what the state of no control is. You must be able to change, control, your state of mind. Without any of these elements, you can't give up control. Mindfulness requires that we direct our attention and focus to the present moment. This requires that you control your attention. First, you need to understand where your attention is currently, either in the past, present, or future. Once you have recognized your attention is in the past or future, you need to consciously change it, control it, to the present. By taking control of your mind a bit more than you currently do, you will start to realize that thoughts are events that only occur in your head and not in real life. We all have thoughts that conjure up emotions and feelings that are sometimes good or sometimes bad, but by realizing that these are feelings and emotions triggered by our own mind's thoughts and not external events or experiences in the present, you are taking control. You can exercise control by mentally choosing whether to let these thoughts affect you emotionally too. Imagine sitting at a bus stop. As you sit there, lots of thought buses are passing you by. When you are in control, you can choose which bus to board and which buses to just let pass. Loss of control, common symptoms. 1. Poor emotional awareness. If you cannot identify which emotions are triggering specific feelings within your mind, you are unlikely to be able to control and inhibit a resulting reaction. 2. Poor emotional clarity. Emotions can often be combined with others to create an emotional cocktail. If you cannot identify and differentiate between emotions that are being experienced together, you will likely lack the control to inhibit the reactions of one or more of these emotions. 3. Non-acceptance of reaction to emotions. If you cannot accept how a reaction is related to a specific emotion or feeling, then it is impossible to control and inhibit the reaction. 4. Disrupted goals or plans. The lack of ability to control and inhibit reactions can lead to disruption in your life goals and plans, likely causing more negative emotions. 5. No control strategies. Often many of us lack control strategies that can help identify likely upcoming reactions. With awareness of some simple strategies, control of reactions can be easily achieved. Reacting versus responding. We spend much of our time just reacting to events and others in our lives, as a reaction tends to be an instinctive action or a gut reaction often based upon fears, insecurities, and vulnerabilities. They tend to feature little or no thought. As this is not usually the most appropriate, rational, or logical way to act, it often leads to unhappy results that make the current situation worse. You will never be able to remove people and events from your life, so there will always be times when something or someone will bother you enough to cause a reaction. But what you should be striving to achieve now is how to respond in a thoughtful, calm, compassionate, and cooperative manner, instead of just thoughtlessly reacting. By being mindful more often, you're more likely to earlier identify emotions as they start to build and be prepared to control a resulting reaction more effectively. In an ideal world, you can totally inhibit any negative reactions, but even just being mindful enough to identify that you are reacting will often be enough for you to be able to stop the reaction continuing and limit any potential damage. A level of emotional intelligence is required to be able to identify and distinguish between emotions. However, most of us have enough emotional intelligence to know whether the emotions being experienced at any given time feel good or bad. Knowing that you're feeling a bad emotion is a sign that you should be preparing to control a bad reaction that may follow. Controlling emotional reactions requires an intention to do so. If you have no intention to control your reactions, you effectively hand control of those reactions to other people or outside events. You are effectively walking around the world we all live in out of control. You may believe that you are in control when you react. If this is the case, you can easily prove this to yourself by choosing not to react next time. If you cannot inhibit the reaction, you are not in control. You may not believe that reacting is a bad thing. It's true, sometimes a reaction does not have any negative effects, and may even result in a positive outcome. However, if you are not inhibiting your reactions, you are removing any control over the outcomes to your reactions altogether. While you are reacting, you often become irrational, and you cannot think with enough clarity to assess whether the reaction is proportional and warranted. By exercising control to inhibit the reaction, you are not surrendering your option to respond in the same way as you would have reacted. You are just ensuring you are considering how to respond to achieve the outcome you ultimately want. By being more mindful and being present more often, you are more likely to identify situations that will lead to emotions that have reactions that need controlling. As you are paying more attention to the current moments, you are less likely to be caught out or be surprised by situations that will trigger these kind of emotions, and consequently, their reactions. Being mindful will more likely lead to you changing the course of conversations and actions through being kinder, less judgmental, and more compassionate. Mindfulness offers several ways you can better control the reactions to your emotions. Meditation. Meditation, while easy, is possibly the most difficult element of mindfulness to get your head around for most of us. I'm sure you have lots of thoughts about how you don't have enough time to do it, and how it's a bit too hippie, and possibly just not for you. It doesn't need to take long, and the benefits you gain far outweigh any time spent meditating. A common misconception is that meditating is the same as relaxing. It is not. Meditating is relaxing, but just relaxing does not have the same benefits as meditating. Unlike meditation, relaxing does not control your mind from having the thoughts it wants to have. Often when you are just relaxing because your mind is not consumed with an activity that keeps it mindful, relaxing can be a time when you are less in control of your mind because control is relaxed too. Of course, we all need to relax, but do not believe relaxing is the same as meditation. In fact, relaxing is closer to being the opposite to meditating in terms of helping control your thoughts. Meditating will help you reach an improved state of self-awareness, and when practiced regularly, also has many other proven benefits too, like improving memory and relief of the some less severe symptoms of anxiety and depression. Meditation is discussed later in the book in more detail, but by improving your self-awareness generally through regular meditation, it will become a lot easier to control your reactions and feelings. Letting go. We all experience positive and negative emotions from time to time, like anger, sadness, happiness, excitement, to name just a few. The key is to observe them and not judge yourself for having such emotions and feelings. By being more self-aware and observing your emotions more, you will learn what each emotion feels like for you and be able to categorize them appropriately. By understanding which emotions you are experiencing, you will be able to realize that emotions pass relatively quickly if they are just observed, acknowledged, and then accepted. Once you've accepted that the emotion you are feeling is perfectly reasonable for the circumstances you find yourself in at the present moment, you can just let it go instead of reacting. Once that emotion has passed, you can choose an appropriate response if one is warranted. Self-awareness. As you are probably starting to see now, mindfulness is really about being as aware of the present moment as you can be, whether that's internal or external to you. It's not always easy to start with, but the more you practice, the easier it becomes, and consequently, the easier you'll find life becomes. Another thing you should be aware of is that practicing mindfulness is an ongoing journey. It is not something you practice until you believe you've overcome a particular issue, as you'll gradually revert back to old habits if you stop. Consider, we are all born as mindful newborn babies that experience the world for the very first time. They have no choice other than to be focused on the present, yet here you are now trying to learn something you found easy when you were born. Something to be aware of, it doesn't matter how much mindfulness you practice, you will still feel emotions like anger, sadness, unhappiness. However, you will be able to recognize them without reacting and be able to let them go. This will help stop you from hanging on to the emotional feelings and whatever triggered them for any longer than you need to, so they don't continue to bring you down. Soon, with practice, you will be judging yourself and others less, along with more kindness, which will improve your quality of life, provide you with more control over your thoughts without becoming overwhelmed with emotions. Learning to respond. Pause. The most important thing to remember that by being mindful whenever you detect that you are going to react, pause. The old saying of counting to 10 is true because it gives you some thinking and mindful time. This thinking time should be used to further use your mindfulness skills to become fully aware of exactly what is going on in the present moment. Think and assess what your next move or response should be. The pause should last for as long as you feel the need to react. Usually this is only for a few seconds, but if it takes a bit longer, then just wait. Remember, even though you may believe you are completely in the right, your reaction could give away any advantage or high ground you currently have. Pausing and then responding with intelligence, compassion, and a calmness will better serve the outcome that you desire. As your mindfulness skills improve, you will find it easier to pause in these situations. If you do not get it right, don't worry. If you are still reacting and you realize that you forgot to pause, pause at this point. This will at least stop any further reaction and any more damage being done. If you forgot to pause and the reaction has passed, Again, don't worry, just resolve yourself to learn from this situation. Understand what happened to trigger the reaction, and ensure you are paying attention when similar circumstances arise in the future, so you can pause next time. Chapter 5. Being Happier You. You can't control the waves, but you can learn to surf. Jon Kabat-Zinn. Many of us are brought up to believe that our happiness is related and linked to possessions, relationships, and events. However, these are all external to us. True happiness comes from within ourselves, and is a result of being loving and compassionate to ourselves. Happiness comes from the love you share with others, and the gratitude for what you have, and not what you don't have. A mentality of not being happy until you get what you want will mean you are unlikely to be truly happy, as we always want more than we have. It's human nature. There is nothing wrong with wanting and aspiring for more, but what you want in the future should not determine whether you are happy now. You can be happy now and still want and desire more things, relationships, and experiences. Most of us don't realize that happiness is a choice and is entirely down to us. We choose whether we are happy or unhappy in any given moment. Mindfulness will help you realize that by showing yourself love, compassion, and gratitude, and the same to others, brings happiness to the present moment. Happiness really is an inside job. Make yourself happier right now by showing some love, kindness, or gratitude. Give it away. It's all free. Feel less anxious. Almost all of us suffer with anxiety at some time or another, yet for some it is a constant problem that never seems to go away. When one issue to feel anxious about has passed, there is another one waiting in the queue, or there are multiple issues that cause anxiety at the same time. Feeling anxiety about feeling anxious can also be a problem too. Having a problem with anxiety can come from seemingly nowhere, can be very debilitating. Last for many years, and for many suffering with repeated bouts of anxiety, it can feel like it will always be in their life. Mindfulness combined with self-compassion can offer some well-needed relief from anxiety, and for some it can really be a complete life-changer. There are many factors or combination of factors that can influence whether you will feel anxious in a given moment, including the current situation you are experiencing, previous life experiences, your genes, caffeine, alcohol, and drugs, to name a few. Anxiety is an emotion that triggers feelings of worry and tension, along with increasing your blood pressure. As with fear, it is intended to help protect us from harm, but in the lives we live nowadays, it is often a misplaced emotion, however real it feels at the time. Worrying thoughts that tend to fuel themselves with more worrying thoughts create a negative thought pattern that finally results in feeling anxious. The more you worry, the worse the worrying becomes. The main way that mindfulness helps with anxiety is to allow you first to identify that you are having these worrying thoughts in the present moment, and then to befriend them. You will learn through being more mindfully present that these thoughts and worries will pass on their own if left alone. You will understand that they are just thoughts, and are usually not based in reality or based upon fact. What mindfulness teaches us is to understand what we are feeling and experiencing in the present moment, whether it is good or bad. Instead of avoiding or trying to push worrying and anxious thoughts to the back of your mind, mindfulness encourages us to take some curiosity and apply some self-compassion to these thoughts and feelings. If you try avoiding or push away worrying or anxious thoughts, they tend to come back stronger, giving them more control over your life. Mindfulness helps you look at them with kindness and understanding of what they are, helping you to stop them getting out of control. Worrying a lot is usually a way of avoiding emotions of fear. Worrying and anxiety could be your way of not dealing with the underlying deeper emotions of fear, hence why the worrying continues. Mindfulness will help you look closer at what you are actually feeling and experiencing in the moment, which will help you identify and understand that feelings and emotions pass. You will learn that by letting them go, they will subside and change to another feeling or emotion if not focused upon. By using your mindfulness skills, you can develop a healthier understanding of your emotions and feelings. By looking closer and trying to understand exactly what you are experiencing in the moment, instead of trying to avoid them, you can challenge your thoughts and worries and allow the emotions and feelings to pass without causing more anxiety and with less struggle. Enjoy more laughter. As a result of being more mindful and less caught up in your thoughts, you'll be more in the present, which means that you'll get to enjoy the present a lot more when it's good. Mindfulness helps improve your general well-being too, and makes you more likely to be happier with whatever life throws at you, along with being able to fully appreciate all the good feelings when they come. To be able to laugh at something, you need to be present in the current moment to appreciate how funny it is, and this is where being mindful comes in. If you are away in your mind or start analyzing whatever it is makes you laugh, it is not funny anymore. Studies have shown that laughing increases endorphins in the brain, and they can help reduce physical pain too. After all, they do say laughter is the best medicine. So prescribe yourself a laughter break when you are starting to notice some negative thoughts or feelings, if you can. It will help. You can also try holding a smile for up to 2 minutes. This has also been shown to improve how you feel, and most people will feel the benefit in less than 2 minutes. Enjoy more tears. It might sound a bit odd to say you will enjoy more tears, but having more tears will bring you more enjoyment overall. Many of us have problems when it comes to letting ourselves have a good cry, mainly due to the way we are brought up and made to feel that crying is a sign of weakness. Obviously, tears are usually brought on by feeling sadness, and for many of us, feeling sadness is also linked to feeling like a failure in some way. Many of us don't cry enough, repressing sad feelings and ending up carrying them around with us and allowing them to affect our daily lives and experiences in ways they really shouldn't. In many cases, we may cry a little and stop ourselves due to embarrassment and fears of being perceived as weak, a failure, or just over-emotional. This stops us fully experiencing the feeling in full and completely. By being mindful of your emotions and feelings, you will learn that to cry is one of the best ways to release the feelings of sadness from within you. You will also be able to understand that when you do have a good cry, you'll know that you've helped to completely experience the sadness in full, without any remaining after effects. Once the sadness has fully passed, you can use your mindfulness to experience emotions and feelings that are happier, instead of always carrying around deeper feelings of sadness. Effectively, more tears now equates to more time for joy later. Experience greater confidence. Practicing mindfulness enables you to experience more of the present moment, along with the feelings and thoughts that you are having at that time. This enables you to notice negative thoughts and negative thought patterns that don't serve your self-esteem and confidence well. You will also understand what you need in this moment, enabling you to make better choices, which will reinforce your confidence and improve your self-esteem. Even just adding small doses of mindfulness into your life can help calm your mind, so you can be more aware of the confidence-busting thought patterns and break free of them. Obviously, practicing mindfulness will not stop whatever events life has to throw at you, but it will help you better respond to those events, and that will help build your confidence and self-esteem. When you have low self-esteem and confidence, you will likely find yourself apologizing to others for things that are not actually your fault, or just to make them feel better. Often this can make you look and feel weaker, along with damaging your self-esteem and confidence. Use your mindfulness skills to help notice when you are about to apologize, so you can pause while you determine whether you have anything to apologize for. Unless you actually inconvenienced someone or did something wrong, just acknowledge that something uncomfortable has occurred and remind yourself you didn't do anything that required an apology. Obviously, if an apology is required, then make sure you take responsibility and apologize with empathy, compassion, and honesty. Do you notice that sometimes you gossip about and judge others in a negative way? Talking about other people in this way will make you look and feel insecure. Confident people do not do this, as they are secure enough to know that it makes them feel bad and look bad. Use your mindfulness skills to identify when you are about to start talking about someone else in this way, and ask yourself, what does this achieve for me, and how I will feel? Another confidence-zapping trait is not being able to accept a compliment. Some of us shut down and feel uncomfortable when someone pays us a compliment, which is another indication of low self-esteem. Being more mindful will help you identify these feelings in the moment that you receive the compliment, so you can simply realize that all is required is a pleasant thank you, which will make the other person know you appreciate the compliment and assist in raising your self-esteem. Another common indicator of a lack of confidence in social situations is using your mobile telephone as a distraction tool. Obviously, we all receive messages and emails that need to be attended to at some point, and some do require immediate action. But if you find yourself continually checking for new messages or emails, it may be a sign of feeling uncomfortable. Looking like you are busy attending to emails or messages also makes you harder to approach, and if people don't engage with you because you look too busy, this will also have an effect on your confidence. Simply put your phone away and allow yourself to check it periodically but not continually. Use your mindfulness skills to assess the people around you and work out who seems friendly and approachable. Being more mindful will be helping your general well-being anyway and making you more approachable too. People that have low self-esteem don't realize that they look insecure to other people. By simply trying to be more mindful and address some of these confidence-damaging traits like those described above, will actually help boost your confidence on its own. The more you appear confident, the more you will feel confident as other people react to your confident behavior and words. This is one area where faking it until you make it in a mindful way can really help. Enjoy better sleep. There are many factors that affect the quality of your nighttime sleep, and we've all experienced sleepless nights with the debilitating effects the next day. And for many, this is a recurring problem. It is claimed that prolonged poor sleep quality can lead to issues with mental health and can also manifest itself in your physical health too. Anxiety, stress, and worry are often major causes of not getting a good night's sleep or waking up earlier than you need. Several studies have shown that people practicing mindfulness suffer less with insomnia, have improved sleep quality, and suffer less with impairment during the day. By being mindful even while you are trying to sleep, you will be able to identify the negative thought patterns, worries, and anxious feelings. Observe them with a kindness and self-compassion that allows you to relax and sleep. You can also easily practice your mindfulness before bed, ensuring you are thinking about the present moment instead of worrying about the day's events or what is going to happen tomorrow before you get into bed. For example, mindfully brush your teeth or mindfully take a bath or a shower. Obviously, make sure you do not use your phone before bed, too. A good night's sleep will also help your mindfulness practice, too, as sleep deprivation reduces your emotional regulation, whereas being more mindful will increase your emotional regulation. Reduced emotional regulation will lead to poorer choices and decisions and will likely make you more reactive, making practicing your mindfulness more challenging. Gain improved resilience. Life throws many things at us to make it more challenging, but by just being more mindful, you can cope and bounce back quicker and with less effort, allowing you more time to enjoy life. As you become aware that you can cope and bounce back from things that go wrong quicker, you will also become less anxious about upcoming issues as a result. When something goes wrong in life, you can often end up experiencing a barrage of emotions and feelings, some that you may not experience often, if ever before. Mindfulness helps you observe these feelings and emotions to better understand them, experience them, and then let them go. There are several ways you can help yourself become more resilient for when things go wrong in life, many of which regular mindfulness practice will help with. A mindful person tends to cultivate close, supportive, and positive relationships with others that help when challenging times arise. They also tend to try to find a positive to take from the situation when something goes wrong or against the plan. Mindful people tend to better understand themselves and their needs, resulting in a more positive approach to issues. Use your mindfulness skills to focus on positive and optimistic thoughts and feelings. Remember, being positive is a choice. Learn to be more decisive and take action. This will save you from ruminating on which is the best decision to take. Finally, just accept that bad things happen to all of us, and it is just part of life. You will cope if you use your mindfulness skills to best understand what you are experiencing in the present, and you will likely learn a lot more about yourself as part of the process. Eat better. Bringing mindfulness and a better awareness of taste, smell, texture, and the look of your food that you are putting into your body should help you notice that the way you experience mealtimes changes for the better in many ways, without you having to put in any real effort. Mindfulness brings an attention, intention, and awareness to what you are eating at mealtimes, and the experiences that different foods can give you. As you are mindful about everything, including what you eat, you'll probably start to notice that you become gradually more adventurous when it comes to what you choose from the menu or cook at home. You'll probably start to realize that always eating the same foods is quite boring, and that there are so many wonderful tastes and experiences out there for you to try. You might also start to wonder about the journey the food you are putting into your body has taken to get to your plate. You may also wonder about how processed the food is and whether it is healthy for you. Using mindfulness after a meal will tell you more about how eating the food has made you feel, and it could be that you start to make changes to your diet overall. Typically, in the lives we lead nowadays, it is all too easy to gulp down a plate of food in front of the TV without even noticing half of it, and whether you actually needed to eat it all. If you are mindful when you eat, you will take longer to enjoy your plate of food and savor every mouthful. You will be better at detecting when you are full and less likely to overeat. Overeating, when done on a regular basis, will lead to issues with your weight and health. Reduce ego. We all have one, and simply, the ego is our own sense of identity, self-esteem, and self-importance. It exists purely in our own minds, and is generally false. It's based upon our self-beliefs of who we are, our personality, our traits, and our perceived abilities. It is a mental construction of ourselves and our own self-image. When your thoughts start with I or me, it is your ego talking to you. Your ego can make you feel positive or negative about anything, but an overly positive or negative ego will not help you be or remain happy. Mindfulness allows you to observe your thoughts and feelings without judgments and reactions, and know that many of these are just products of your own mind or ego. Being mindful allows you to witness your ego without being controlled by it. Once you can see the show that your ego produces in your mind, you can start to influence and now direct the performances instead of being controlled by them. Become kinder. Most of us care and are kind to those we know and are close to. However, many of us don't give ourselves the same kindness and care. Often we are more critical of ourselves than we would be of those we care about if they were faced with the same circumstances or situation. It's all too easy to brood over something that has happened in the past, what could happen in the future, judging ourselves, worrying or comparing ourselves to others, when we could be spending that time caring and being kind to ourselves instead. Most of us know how to be kind when needed, yet we need to learn that we can do this for ourselves too. Fortunately, kindness to oneself can be learned. Using mindfulness, you can identify negative thoughts and feelings as they arise, learn and experience the act of sending kindness and compassion to those thoughts and feelings. The better that you become at giving yourself kindness, you will notice that you start to feel warm, relaxed, calmer, and ultimately happier. As you are being mindful, you will also better understand how your kindness affects you and your feelings in these moments, and it will help you better understand how it affects others too. Some simple ways to offer yourself some kindness are to soften your self-talk, place a hand over your heart, cuddle something or yourself, and make sure you smile, even if forced. All of these simple but effective actions will help you feel a bit kinder to yourself. Have more gratitude. By being more grateful for what you have now, will automatically push your mind in a positive direction. When you really appreciate what you have in your life now, you will start to feel happier. Of course, we all want more in our lives, but how often do you really take stock and feel the gratitude for what you have already? Our brains have a tendency to focus on the negative aspects of life. Yet by just being more grateful for what you have, you can change this to thoughts of joy, love, and contentment very quickly. Research is starting to show that by being generally more grateful, not only is mental health improved, but it also improves your sleep quality and the amount of sleep you experience. Key to using gratitude to improve your well-being and making yourself feel happier is to be grateful each day. Spend a few minutes each day being thankful and grateful for what you have in your life and for what life has given you. Ideally, do this in the morning so you start the day in a positive frame of mind. You should start to notice increased feelings of optimism and satisfaction with life. You will probably find when you really start to think about all the things in your life that there are to be grateful for, that the list can be very long, which is an encouraging start. Try focusing on one thing, person, situation or area of your life and start thinking about how grateful you are for all the different elements. Try to pick a different subject each time, and before you know it, you'll be grateful for hundreds of things in your life. Some good places to start are: think of someone that has helped you in your life, all that they have done for you, and all the positive results that have come about because of this. Think about all the people that have helped your dinner get to your plate, and be grateful for all that they have done along each step of its journey to your stomach. The list of things to be grateful for will be endless, as with each moment that passes, there is something else to be grateful for. This is one of the quickest ways you can improve your mood, so what are you waiting for? Feel some gratitude now. Chapter 6. Being Happier in Relationships. Awareness is like the sun. When it shines on things, they are transformed. Thich Nhat Hanh. It's not difficult to see that having the qualities that mindfulness encourages within a relationship of any kind can only enhance it. Mindfulness encourages less judging, more attentiveness, more compassion, and more empathy, to name but a few. When it comes to romantic relationships, new research is starting to show that higher levels of mindfulness can lead to more satisfying and happier relationships. Practicing mindfulness over a period of time creates changes within the brain that makes us better relationship partners. Inside the brain, the amygdala is the brain's threat detection center and is responsible for the flight or fight response. Also inside the brain is the prefrontal cortex, which is responsible for calming us down from anger or fear and stopping us from getting into negative thought patterns that spiral out of control. Mindfulness practice is shown to reduce the size of the amygdala, thus reducing the sensitivity of the fight or flight response. It is also shown that mindfulness practice strengthens the prefrontal cortex, keeping us more in control. These two factors help us to be more aware in a disagreement or an argument of what is helpful and not helpful at that point. Furthermore, mindfulness practice is also shown to strengthen the anterior cingulate cortex inside the brain, which is associated with self-perception, regulation of emotions, attention and impulses. This part of the brain is also related to how well you can see problems from another perspective and helps you adapt to more flexible views of you and your partner. Many of us bring emotional traumas from our pasts and vulnerabilities to relationships, which can cause us to get stuck into negative patterns and repeat behaviours, relationship after relationship. Romantic relationships are especially good at exposing vulnerabilities and distrust. Mindfulness practice helps us to be calmer, be more adaptable, and view the moments in the relationship for what they actually are. Mindfulness allows us to better understand what feelings and issues are related to the actual relationship, and which are caused by outside influences, such as work-related stress, family issues, etc. Staying with the science for a bit longer, mindfulness practice helps create positive changes in the insular area of the brain, which is responsible for emotional awareness and empathy. The better your insular functions, the better you will be at understanding your own feelings and relating to your partner's feelings. Mindfulness helps us focus on being more open and accepting of our partner and their flaws. If we find ourselves focusing too much on their flaws, we can choose to focus on their more positive attributes instead. We better understand that our partner's behaviour may be less based upon us and more based upon the previous life experiences and traumas, making us more forgiving and helping improve emotional intimacy and a stronger connection between both. So one of the main benefits of your mindfulness practice could be that it just improves and makes you happier in your romantic relationship. If you both start practicing mindfulness regularly, then things can only improve from where you are now for both of you. Listen with more attentiveness. One of the skills that can be developed with regular mindfulness practice is more active listening and a better ability to actually hear what is being said, whether verbally or between the lines. You can become better at not just focusing on the actual words that have been said and their literal meanings. Instead, you can be able to better understand the true meaning of the combined spoken words and what is not said. This will help build a fuller understanding of the feelings and emotions that the speaker is conveying on the subject. When others are talking, many of us are just using this time to formulate what we are going to say next, judging the speaker or waiting for the other person to say something that we disagree with. Often we approach conversations from the position of how it affects us, when what we should be doing is trying to understand how it affects the speaker. When the speaker feels that they are being understood and not judged for what they are saying and expressing, they are more likely to open up and help strengthen the emotional connection between the speaker and the listener. By being more attentive and listening with understanding, generosity, empathy, support, compassion, care, and in a non-judgmental way, you can better understand what the speaker is trying to convey to you, including their feelings and emotions on a subject. Active listening also involves waiting for the other person to complete what they are saying fully before forming any opinion or starting to formulate a response if one is needed. Before you can perfect your active listening techniques, you need to use mindfulness to become more self-aware, as until you truly understand and are friends with yourself, you cannot be sure that what you are interpreting from another person's communication is not based upon your own misunderstanding of yourself. If you cannot fully understand the feelings and emotions of your own experiences, you cannot appreciate those of others with any accuracy. Effectively, you need to be able to use your own reliable experiences of feelings and emotions to be able to interpret and be empathetic to somebody else's. Even when what is being said to us may sound like criticism or sound hurtful, we can use mindfulness to show us that we can still care for ourselves while at the same time caring for the other person and for what they are saying. Mindfulness teaches us to be here in this moment, attentively, with the knowledge that it will be history very shortly, along with all the feelings and emotions that are attached to what is being said. By not reacting and actively listening to everything that is being said before you consider a response, you can often move past your initial negative reactive feelings and emotions to more positive ones as you realize that with better understanding comes a better perception of the other person's point of view. We all want to be better understood, especially by the people we care about most. A better understanding and appreciation of the other person's point of view will lead to a more attentive, compassionate, and empathetic response. This will only improve the speaker's feelings of being understood. This will likely help them express more openly and more often, only helping you to understand and appreciate them furthermore. Active listening takes a conscious effort, time, and practice, but with usually quick and noticeable results. This is a technique many more of us should learn to perfect. A good rule of thumb is to listen for twice as long as you speak, and the quality of your listening should be considered as important as the quality of your argument. Your argument or position will be stronger if it is formed upon a more solid understanding and appreciation of the other side, because you have listened well. Often this will lead to agreement, as many disagreements come from just miscommunication, either through what is said not being clear, or from what is heard incorrectly. There are many techniques and names for active listening, along with many meditations that will help you improve these skills, and also help enhance your self-awareness too. With better understanding and appreciation, you will become better at providing support and care to the people you care about. This will serve everyone involved in the relationship well. Become less reactive. Regardless of the type of relationship, no two people can agree on everything all of the time. Sometimes we disagree so strongly that it can lead to an argument often caused by instinctive reactions that are triggered by what is being said by the other. We can all remember a time where we have reacted instinctively to something being said that we perceive as hurtful or wrong. In almost all cases, reacting instinctively does not serve your ultimate aim, which is to resolve the argument as quickly as possible in the most amicable way. So by using mindfulness to notice negative emotions bubbling, you can teach yourself to respond thoughtfully instead of instinctively reacting. Instinctive reactions are not controlled actions. They are, by their nature, actions without thought and stem from your natural instinct to protect yourself. The problem with this natural instinct is that it evolved to protect us from getting eaten by bears when we lived in caves, and not for living the lives and relationships we have now. This is why we find ourselves saying things we wouldn't normally say and regretting them later. An instinctive reaction is an action that is not controlled, so you are effectively out of control when you just react. Feeling out of control not only doesn't feel very nice for ourselves, it often makes the other person feel pretty bad too, through what is done or said. So anything that reduces this type of behavior can only benefit a relationship. By practicing mindfulness regularly, you will learn how to intercept the reaction before it happens, or at the very least while it's happening, so you can pause and compose yourself, so that you can respond in a more thoughtful manner. Just the act of practicing mindfulness regularly will help when going into situations where you disagree with another, as your starting point emotionally is generally more balanced and centered. You will also be more aware of your emotions and feelings generally, so you will likely be able to raise issues or concerns long before they are likely to result in instinctive and intense reactions. Relationships test us in many ways, especially emotionally. Mindfulness will not stop you feeling the emotions and feelings that come and go as a result of a particular relationship and its interactions. However, being more mindful will help you better understand what you are feeling and help you to react less and potentially do less damage to a relationship that is important to you. You will likely also become more proactive when it comes to discussing issues and concerns about how you feel before they become major problems that can trigger arguments. A more mindful you will also better understand the other's emotional state and other factors that may be influencing what they are saying that may hurt your feelings. By having this better understanding and empathy for the other person in this relationship, you will be less likely to react instinctively and make better decisions for the good of the relationship. Even if you do get caught out and do react instinctively, a more mindful you will help you recover to a more composed state quicker and with a stronger understanding of how the instinctive reaction will impact and affect the other along with the relationship. Improved emotional intelligence. Good or bad relationships are generally built on how well you can affect the other person's feelings and emotions